You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Reggie Miller back with us in about 20 minutes. Lakers beat the Rockets, 36 for LeBron, up 2-1. Heat close out the Bucks. Here's Charles Barkley on what he thinks could happen with the Greek Freak in Milwaukee.
Listen, I hope Giannis does like a Michael Jordan or Dirk Nowitzki. Don't just be a chump and try to join another organization. Battle through it. Michael Jordan just said, I'm going to get better. Dirk Nowitzki said, I'm just going to keep getting better. And they end up winning the championship. You know, I hope he doesn't become a chump and just jump to another organization. Listen, I think he got to – I hope he signs the max deal this summer and say, I'm going to win in Milwaukee. You know, I could join a super team and win, but I want to still have my own legacy and identity.
All right, Charles thinking what's best for the NBA, not what's best for the Greek Freak. You know, it's just like Kevin Durant when he left OKC. We didn't like it, but Kevin Durant did what he wanted to do. You know, Tom Brady leaving New England probably could have stayed there, but Tom Brady did what he wanted to do, what he thought he needed to do. LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami. People didn't like it, but he did what he thought was best for him. If you have the leverage, and you're not going to have it very many times, but if you want to use it, then use it. Now, Kevin Durant, probably that'll stay with him the rest of his career, where no matter what happens when they talk about him winning titles, they're going to go, yeah, but you had to go to Golden State to win those titles. Now, if he wins one in Brooklyn, it's going to be different. But LeBron, yeah, but you had to go to Miami to win those titles. It's true. He did. But he did win one in Cleveland. And that should erase anything. And if he wins one in Los Angeles this year, that should erase anything. But it probably won't. But last night, the Lakers, Rajon Rondo stepped up. Playoff Rondo was big time. Regular season Rondo, not usually a factor. Or at least we don't notice what he does in the box score. Last night we did. Came up big in the fourth quarter. You got Raptors-Celtics game 6 tonight. Clippers and the Nuggets game 4. We talked about, we've talked a couple things. We talked about the Greek Freak. Will he stay? Why would he stay? Why would he go? He's going to get probably $220 million Supermax deal. That's 80 more than any other team, but that doesn't stop him from saying, I want to do a sign and trade. There's going to be talk about Golden State, believe it or not. There'll be talk about the Miami Heat and the Toronto Raptors. Those are just three teams right now that people at least think there's a possibility if he would leave, that would be a place where he would want to go. But we got a lot of basketball left to be played, and we got a long time before any decision is going to be made. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle is at DP Show. Say good morning to Peacock, our TV partner, and Fox Sports Radio lineup, our 362 radio affiliates around the country. The Cardinals locked up DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins negotiated his own deal and did a great job. Two-year extension, what, over $50 million? Von Miller may miss the season, got injured on the next-to-last play or final play of practice yesterday. And people like Denver. That's kind of an in-vogue sleeper pick there. But Von Miller is perhaps going to miss the rest of the regular season. There was something that I wanted to bring to your attention, and it was from the Steelers general manager, Kevin Colbert. He said that he would take a player who played in 2020 over a player who didn't. Those players who are deciding to opt out, not play this year. Now, some can't play because they're in the Big Ten or Pac-12. But those who are in the ACC, SEC, Big 12, and decide to opt out, Kevin Colbert says, and he was talking to Kevin Clark of The Ringer, he understands why some players and teams are choosing not to play, but he is more likely to draft a player who played in 2020 than one who sat out. He says that the one thing the conference is that choose not to play, and the players that opted out, we understand all that. Obviously, they're doing it for safety and health first and foremost. We respect that. However, the players that get the opportunity to play and choose to play, we feel more comfortable in their evaluations. He adds, because I just don't know, sitting out a year, what those players are going to look like having missed the season. There's just not a real natural source of information saying, well, when this player sits out, he'll be this, because we just don't know. I don't know how that impacts some of these players who are sitting out, but that's just one general manager. These players can still have a pro day. They can still work out. They can hire an agent. You can work out with other players. You can actually get paid. You know, Jamar Chase at LSU, opting out is not changing his draft status. He will be one of the top 10 players. Not going to change his at all. Now, let's see. There's been players in the Big Ten who opted out before they shut down the season. Players in the Pac-12 who opted out before the shutdown of the season. But that's just one. You're going to have the combine. At least you hope to have the combine still. It's still a chance to be able to prove yourself. But the one thing that we do see, have seen recently, is quarterbacks who've come out of nowhere to all of a sudden become top five. You had Baker Mayfield, came out of nowhere. Kyler Murray came out of nowhere. Jalen Hurts, kicked to the curb by Alabama, plays well at Oklahoma, second-round draft pick. Joe Burrow was going to be a fifth-round draft pick. If that was his senior season 2 years ago, he's a fifth-round draft pick. He has the season of any quarterback's life in college football, and he becomes the number one overall pick. We're going to miss out on some of those stories this year because the number of players, teams that aren't going to be playing. Yeah, McLeod.
I just pulled up like a random mock draft. I pulled up Matt Miller, our friend at Bleacher Report. Yeah. Like the top set is only Trevor Lawrence is playing. Then the next six guys are out for the year. You know, Justin Fields, Micah Parsons, Penny Sewell, Jamar Chase. Trey Lance is his number two, by the way, which is
his number two pick overall?
Yeah, he has Justin Fields four.
Okay.
And Trey Lance.
I thought I was early on the hype machine where I said, this guy's, you know, my source who's a scout said he's the top 10 pick. And I went, that's aggressive. And he goes, yeah, where were you when I told you about Carson Wentz? And I go, all right, yeah, you got a point there.
He also has Caleb Farley, who was the first player to opt out from Virginia Tech. He's eight.
Oh, yeah.
Gregory Rousseau was the second player to opt out. He's seven. So I don't know if the Steelers' plan works.
Well, the Steelers are hoping they're not drafting in the top 10. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, we don't want to draft any of those players who didn't play because that meant we had a bad year. Yeah, I'm clever.
I feel like NFL loves the unknown, though. So they might, like, they love that Trubisky. You know, it's the whole thing. Like,
Daniel Jones.
They might jump into some of these guys they haven't seen in a year. Just be like, well, you know.
They love potential. It's like when you draft a European basketball player. Somehow, like if Sam Decker at Wisconsin was playing in Lithuania and we never saw him, we'd go, hey, this guy's Sam Decker. He is awesome. How do you say it's D-E-K-K-E-R. Remember Dante Exum out of Australia? And
he's the next big thing.
Yeah. Well, Mannix would say that. And I go, is he? Like, I saw his highlights. And I go, okay, they're called highlights. Nobody puts out a tape and go, hey, and here's my lowlights. It's always, if you don't look good in your highlights, then you're probably not going to be a good basketball player. But there was always that European, that mysterious guy. All of a sudden, man, did you hear about this guy? It's like we never saw him. They didn't play in college. The great unknown. And then we didn't believe the hype with Luka Doncic. So the one that's going to turn out to be the biggest whiff, we didn't believe the hype. And he was right there. We saw the games. He's playing against grown men. He's winning a title. He's winning a title in the second toughest league in the world. And at a young age, and we were like, yeah, I don't know. And right there, I went, he seems just quick enough, just fast enough, he was always just. And you realize that that's who he is. If you watch him play, he just gets the shot off. He just gets by you. But he does it, and he'll continue to do that because it's not like his abilities. He's not coming back to earth as Zion will. Literally, he'll come back to earth. He won't jump this way his entire career. He's not Vince Carter. Luka is not, you know, his athleticism is not going to diminish. He'll add to his arsenal. Maybe he'll start making free throws. Yeah, McLeod.
But what are we supposed to do as fans? Mannix told us that Dante Exum and Mario Hezonja were going to change the league. Of course
I don't know if he said that.
He was into Mario Hezonja, too.
He was into Ricky Rubio.
He was a big Mario Hezonja. He went number five to the Magic in 2015. Yeah. Like, those guys ruined us for Luka Doncic. We're going to think everyone's going to be Luka Doncic.
I know. Well, who is the player? Is he? I don't know if he's Jewish or not. Is it Dani, D-A-N-I?
Yeah, he's Israeli.
Israeli, right?
Yes. I'll find that out.
He looks so athletic. And I'm going to guess he's going to be a top five pick. He looked spectacular. I actually watched one game, but then I saw his highlights. But in the game, you can tell, a lot of times when you watch a game, you don't know who the best player on the floor is all the time. Or the best player on the floor sometimes doesn't show up. When I watched him play, he was definitely the best player on the floor. Yeah, Paulie.
But if you look back, Dante Exum, you can find all these stories. This is the next guy. He's this combo guard. He's barely playing. He's holding on to a job in the league. Remember the kid a couple of years ago, Emmanuel Mudiay?
Yeah.
The guard?
Yeah.
He's riding the bench for the Jazz.
Yep.
Ricky Rubio has had an average NBA career. He's fine. He's not bad. He's not good. He's a solid NBA player.
Yeah.
For a long time.
I mean, he's still starting.
Yeah. He's a starting NBA player.
Yeah. He's all right.
But remember when we got to get this guy? He's 11 years old.
Well, I remember saying to Mannix, he goes, "Oh, you got to see him. He's unbelievable. His ball handling." I go, "Can he shoot?" "Well, he's working on that." I go, "No, check back in. He still can't shoot on a consistent basis." And then Mannix goes, "Well, he's gotten better." I go, "He had to get better." Yeah, McClellan.
The guy from Israel's name is Deni Avija.
Yeah.
But he's also he's half Serbian.
He's an animal.
Yeah.
Like, he's really, really athletic.
Remember Keith, I think it was Obermann, called, there was a Minnesota player that he called the Jewish Jordan named Jacobson.
Yes.
It turned out he wasn't Jewish.
Well, he went to Minnesota.
Right.
Yeah, Sam Jacobson. He went to the Lakers.
Yeah, and he was not Jewish, I believe.
Or number five.
You guys, I think, called him the Jewish Jordan.
Yeah.
As I recall.
Well, no, there was another one out of...
Tamir Goodman.
Out of Loyola.
Yeah, Maryland.
Yeah, yeah. Tamir Goodman?
Yeah.
And he was the Jewish Jordan.
So this guy, Deni Avija, better be the Jewish Jordan. He's got to get a lot of pressure to live up that title.
Some phone calls here. Ryan in Tampa joining us on the program. Hi, Ryan. What do you have for me?
How you doing, Dan? My first time call is 5'7", a svelte 170. And thank you, sir. I have normally before I get into my take, I just want to let you know, thank you for all you guys do. You make my day. You make everyone's day. I love your sarcasm and your humor and your spin on things. However, the reason for my call, Dan, is you seem to constantly, intermittently dog my LA Rams. And I just want to point out a few things, maybe for your consideration,
okay,
to think about. Jared Goff, of course, a bunch of years ago.
Ryan, can I just ask one question real quick? How can it be constantly but intermittently?
Well, that's true. Okay, like I said, I'm nervous. It's
now,
am I
constantly ripping the Rams or intermittently ripping the Rams?
Let's see. You probably are intermittently ripping the Rams, but it seems constant every time I hear you. So,
I'm only on for 3 hours a day. Here, Brian.
I know. All right.
Okay, well, go ahead. Enlighten me. Enlighten me on your Rams.
I'm going to try.
Okay.
4 years ago, they were the laughing stock of the NFC. Now they've, since Goff has been there, granted he's kind of taken a step back, he's been Super Bowl, played in the Super Bowl, not watched like Carson Wentz. He has not been injured. And he has done some pretty good things overall. And I just seem to think that you guys always kind of omit him as a game manager in the Saints game. Regardless of the interference, he was going toe-to-toe with cool, calm precision. It's not his fault on the interference call. But he has shown, Dan, that he is able to lead this team. And the Rams may not be the darling pick, but they seem to not be as bad as you sound.
Yeah, but we were all in on this team when they went to the Super Bowl, Ryan, and thank you for the phone call. And by the way, he is a game manager. His coach is in his ear the entire game helping him. And look, we love Jared Goff, but, you know, that was a team that had their moment, and you had a coach who was the next Belichick, and it feels like things have cooled off there. I don't think they got better in the offseason. And you're in the NFC West. I hope the Rams play well. It's a good story, good team. But not, you know, I got Seattle good. San Francisco's good. And Arizona's on the rise. If I overlook the Rams and they end up winning 10 games, then all right. I stand corrected. I sit corrected, actually. But I hope to constantly rip the Rams intermediately. So, yeah, I'm only on 3 hours a day. I don't spend that much time with the Rams.
Well, like at the dinner table with the family?
No, I do that last night.
Oh, you're chopping them up?
Yeah, with my wife and one of my daughters. And she's, my wife goes, God, you're constantly, intermittently ripping the Rams. And I go, I know, hon. I know. What do you have against Sean McVay? I said, I don't know, hon. Don't you like Andrew Whitworth? Pass the pasta, please. Yes, Tom.
You should give it a rest at the dinner table.
I know.
Just like you got to put your phone down.
I know.
It's family time.
I know. I try.
So many other hours to rip the
Rams. Do it. All right. Let me take a break here. Let me take a break from ripping the Rams. Let me get to Reggie Miller, who will join us coming up next. 17 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Simply Safe Home Security. Says it all right there in the name. It's simple. Simple for you to set up and safe. Very safe. Simply Safe. It's great. U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020. And here's the thing about the home security companies. They trap you in with high prices, tricky contracts, lousy customer support, and there's not a lot of options out there. But thank goodness Simply Safe is one of our partners, because I take great pride in telling you about great partners, and Simply Safe certainly is one of those. No contracts, no pushy sales guy, no hidden fees, no fine print. Starts at $15 a month. You order it online, comes directly to your door, home or office. You just peel and stick the sensors exactly where you need them. No technicians required. You can do it in under an hour. Simply Safe. So try Simply Safe today, simplysafedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day risk-free trial, nothing to lose at simplysafedan.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. More phone calls coming up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Reggie Miller back with us. He called last night's Game 5 Heat Bucks with Kevin Harlan. He's got Nuggets Clippers Game 5 on Friday on TNT. And Reg joins us now from the bubble. If you're Giannis's agent, what would you advise him to do?
In terms of if he's going to re-sign the Supermax or stay in
his future.
Milwaukee?
Yeah.
I would have him stay. He has carved out a niche. Milwaukee somewhat took a gamble on a kid from Greece, not knowing his potential because they drafted on potential, not seeing a lot of film on him. I would reward the team that took a gamble on me. There's other structural changes that need to go on. I wouldn't put a lot of pressure on management, but there's things that he needs to be surrounded with. They are a fantastic regular season team. They're built that way.
Yep.
They're not built for the playoffs, which in playoff basketball, you need to grind and you need to have decision makers on your team that can sift through certain changes that other teams make. And I just don't think they have that playmaker who can sift through those changes in playoff basketball.
Yeah, I wondered if Chris Paul would be a great acquisition. I know he's expensive. I know they just passed on Malcolm Brogdon, but I said this when this series started. You know what, Chris Paul, if they had that kind of player, I would look at the Bucks differently because I'd have a playoff performer, a veteran, a tough guy, a guy who can play in the half-court offense because Milwaukee is just a transitional team. And if you slow them down, then all of a sudden they're exposed. And I think Miami did a great job. And I don't know, do we give Miami the credit or do we blame Milwaukee in the kind of team that they built, that it's not a playoff basketball team, it's a regular season basketball team?
In this series, I'm going to give Miami the credit.
Okay.
Because you and I have been talking about this since the playoffs began. You and I both had Miami as the best team in the restart. Defensively, they just take you out of what you want to do. And they've got shot makers at the offensive end, and they have a bulldog leader in Jimmy Butler who holds everyone accountable. So I'm going to give Miami all the credit. But let me just say this about Chris Paul. Chris Paul would make a lot of teams right now that are still playing very good. But to me, he would be that decision maker. Would he be expensive? Yes. But my question to the Milwaukee brass, do you want to win now? For the last two seasons, you've had the overall best record in the game. Everyone had to come through you. Now, again, this year is a little bit different because everyone's on equal footing. There is no home court advantage, but still, you've had the best record in the league the last two seasons, and you really have nothing to show for it. You were up 2-0 on Toronto last year and lost 4 straight. And for whatever reason, in the restart, you just didn't look like the same team that when play was stopped mid-March and you have the best record, things, for whatever reason, just wasn't there. And, you know,
they won as many games, Reg, I think, in the bubble as the Phoenix Suns did.
Yes.
And the Phoenix Suns didn't make the playoffs.
No. And, look, I'm sure there's a lot of blame to go around. They just didn't perform up to expectations. And where's that going to fall on? You have to look at Giannis because his game has to be better. Because, again, he is still limited. As great as he is at 25, will be a two-time MVP.
But what would you do in the offseason with him?
He's got to become a better shooter. He's got to become a better shooter. Okay. If he becomes a better shooter, everything else is mute. He shoots threes. He barely shoots a mid-range game. But it's almost hard to watch because he's so talented. And it's more about repetition. I don't care what his shooting form is. I just don't think he trusts his jump shot. If he gets a jump shot to keep the defense honest, now we're talking a different story because we kind of said the same thing about MJ. MJ was unbelievable athletic his first 2 or 3 years, an all-star, an MVP candidate, all that. But once he got that jump shot, he was unguardable.
Are the Rockets built for the regular season and not the postseason as well?
They've gone through so many different experiments, though. Right now, playing small ball, you could put them in that same category with Milwaukee. I think they surprised the Lakers in game one. I thought the Lakers mailed game one in just like they mailed game one in versus Portland, and they got their attention. I think if the Lakers play like this and they get contributions from the bench like we saw last night, they can become unbeatable. And LeBron James, again, has taken his game to a different level. You know, I was watching that, and, you know, they kept referring, you know, his 17th season. He was playing like it was his 7th season in the league.
Yeah.
Between the block shots, the defense, it's just phenomenal to watch because, you know, I played 18 years, and I tell you this all the time. My 17th and 18th year, every time I got out of bed, it was, oh, my goodness, what – there was a new bone that hurt on me. And for him to play at this level in his 17th season is just absolutely remarkable.
But his defense just – you have to want to play defense. Or is there more to this? Because LeBron does have those moments. You know, when you think about great players of all time, how many players, their second, third, fourth biggest moment is actually a defensive play – and sure. LeBron had that on Andre Iguodala. Michael Jordan had that steal against Karl Malone that set up the shot. Like, how many great players are known for their defensive moment in their career? So we know LeBron's capable of doing it. It's just, is it more just effort that you have to want to do it?
Oh, defense is all effort. And you can't burn the candle at both ends because LeBron knows they also need his scoring and his playmaking. So he can't exert every defensive effort every single time at the defensive end. Are there going to be plays like we saw last night? I mean, there were 4 unbelievable chase down blocks from LeBron or weak side blocks from LeBron. He gives the effort when the effort is needed. But remember, the effort is also needed for him to score, you know, 25 plus points and to be the facilitator on that team as well. I think he picks his and chooses his moments when to ramp up that defensive effort.
How do you explain Rajon Rondo?
You and I said this, that Rondo was going to be the missing piece for this team. With no Avery Bradley and then him missing, you know, I don't know how many games because of the thumb injury, can he play like that all the time? Because he takes the ball out LeBron's hands and allows him to run the lanes, to be a little bit more aggressive in the offense, not always, you know, being the ball facilitator. Rondo relieves that pressure. And he's good defensively, as we saw last night. And it's found money when he's knocking down threes in his offense. I mean, I don't know if he'll get 20 more points the rest of this series. But that was something to see, because he just adds another veteran presence and a guy that's won a championship, and LeBron trusts that.
That Kawhi block the other night on Jamal Murray.
Was that unbelievable? I mean, in real time, I was like, oh, wow, that's a nice block. But when they slowed it down and he literally was giving Jamal Murray the middle finger on that block, it was that just shows you what a freak he is defensively as well.
But remember when guys would say, well, the reason why big men can't shoot free throws, their hands are too big. Kawhi's got the biggest hands in the NBA probably. And I don't – like Shaq just didn't have good form. Like he didn't have any follow through, had no touch. But, you know, Kareem had nice touch from the line. Karl Malone became a very good free throw shooter. What is it about – you know, Kristaps Porzingis, a good free throw shooter.
And this is my case in point for Giannis. I think Kawhi is a case study because they almost have the same amount of big hands, because Giannis has huge hands as well. So if Kawhi can become a great scorer and shooter, so can Giannis. The reason why Kawhi is so good, he puts in the time. Chad Forcier, who was an assistant coach in San Antonio the first, I believe, 3 or 4 years with Kawhi, that's all they used to work on, was footworks, mechanics, and follow-through and shooting form. And I think that's what Giannis needs. He needs a coach who's going to be with him 24/7, and that's all we're going to work on is our shooting mechanics, our footwork, just so it becomes – it's a drill that's repetitive in his head.
Do you think you could have made Shaq a good free-throw shooter?
I don't think Shaq needed it. Like Shaq always says – I made them when I had to make them. Shaq was so dominant. I don't know if you can make anyone a great free throw shooter. To me, it's all about confidence. And Shaq is brimming with confidence. And he made them when he had to make them. You know, he made them against us. And we made it a point that he was going to shoot 20 free throws a game in the finals in 2000. And he only shot 40%. But when it became winning time in the fourth, when we fouled him, he made him.
He says all the time, whenever I bring up free throws, he'll be like, Dan Patrick, I make them when I need to make them. And he goes, he said to me one time, he goes, I once made 20 in a row in practice. And I go, well, that's.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
But imagine what he would have done. Let's say he was a 70% free throw shooter.
If he was a 70%, well, number one, he would be the number one scorer in the league right now. He would have overtook Kareem. Think about that. If he was 70 or 75% from the free throw line, he would have been almost 45, 50,000 points.
He would have added more, probably 5 more points per game.
Yes.
So, and by the way, you caught a little bit of grief where you said, I saw it on social media. Didn't you say that you would average?
I would average 45 points in today's game if the way they play defense today, where you can't hand check, you can't contest shots, you got to come on the side.
45?
Okay, and then KD came back and said fabrication. He's right on that. 43.8. I was trying to round up.
Okay.
43.8.
But if you say you could do 45, what about these other guys who are playing in today's?
Jordan would have averaged 45-50.
In today's game.
The point I was making is you allow great shooters freedom to roam, freedom with no hand checks. You can't crowd me, and I got a clear sight at the rim, then – it's going to be lights out, baby. That's the point I was making when I was like, I would average 45. So I wanted to throw a crazy number out there to get people's attention.
You did.
So I'm glad KD or whoever's controlling KD's burners account was listening to that and responded. But it's so hard to play defense in today's game because they allow the offense to go wherever they want.
Okay, but if Jordan's averaging, I mean, be honest here. If Jordan in his prime, Jordan in the early 90s, is
in
averaging.
Today's rules.
Yeah, today's rules is averaging 40.
He would average 40.
Okay.
I think he would average 40.
Okay, but didn't he average 39 one year or 37.1? So Kobe's going to average 40.
Kobe would be up there. Kobe would be up there as well.
Who else?
Great scores like.
Because you got to be able to shoot the three now. So, like Iverson.
Larry Legend could have averaged 30, 35 the way he was able to shoot threes.
Well, he averaged 30 a couple of times. So, add in the three and these rules, then probably 35, 36 a game. But yes. Iverson didn't shoot the three.
But he was capable of making them, though. And he got fouled a lot. And. Remember, he was part of the era where you could hand check. Yeah, you can't hand check him now. He can run anywhere he wants. Iverson's up there, too.
Trying to think who else down through history where you go, that person in today's rules. Because Shaq, today's rules doesn't, does that impact Shaq on what he would average?
A little bit, because Shaq, he was the modern day Mike Tyson. You feared him. He went through you. He intimidated you. And all his power now, a lot of shots he put on centers, he was taking their necks and jaws off, and they would go to the videotape. So I think he would be hindered in today's game. He would still be very effective and a Hall of Fame player. But the power and intimidation, a lot of that may be taken away.
But if Steph Curry played when you played, what kind of impact does Steph Curry have on the game?
One thing he always has going for him is he's a shooter.
Yeah, but you're going to have your hands on him. I'm going to be physical on him, allowed to knock him down.
He would adapt.
He's not going to be able to shoot that many threes.
Well, you didn't back then. You didn't. But he's a great – he can shoot mid-range.
Can you imagine if I just put him in this time warp and I put him back in the 90s and he's going against the Pistons and he steps on the court – and he thinks he's playing.
Joe Dumars is able to hold him like this. He would find a way, though. He would find a way. All great scorers and shooters, they find a way. They adapt.
Would you rather have Isaiah as your teammate or Steph Curry?
Oh, man. Okay, hold on. Isaiah, in today's rules, might put up 30, 35. Isaiah Thomas,
yeah.
He might put up 30, 35.
So who would you take?
Who would I want? Can I have them both?
No.
I can't have them both, Theodore?
No, you're getting nervous if you're afraid by a dog, Reg.
I got to play on the team with him, Isaiah. Isaiah is a little bit more of a traditional point guard and was setting me up. Who would I love to like be on the same team and shoot with? Steph.
Would you want to play with Harden or Westbrook?
Harder.
But would you want to play on the same team? You're not going to get any shots.
Yes, I would. No. I could play the Covington PJ Tucker role.
No, you're going to need more shots.
I can be Daniel House. You can't tell me I can't be Daniel House and just camp in the corner. I can't be Robert Covington.
You're going to want the ball. You're not going to want to average 13 a game.
You're talking about my mentality? You're probably right.
Because you're a better shooter than Harden.
Harden can shoot, though.
Is Harden a better shooter than you?
Why are you doing this to me?
I don't know.
Why are you doing this to me?
I don't know. It's just our relationship. Is Harden a better shooter than you?
No. Right now, yes.
Barely.
I'm 55 years old. In my prime? I will put my right arm against anyone in my prime.
Even Steph.
In my prime, I'm putting my right arm against anyone in my prime.
Are you better than Steph in your prime?
Steph is going to go down arguably as the greatest shooter ever. If not,
he already is.
Yeah. He is the greatest shooter. But I'll be his huckleberry.
But would you rather shoot like Klay Thompson or Steph Curry?
Steph. Steph is smooth, man.
Yeah, but Klay's got the that's textbook form right
Steph,
there.
Steph got all that. He has all this.
Yeah, man, I
wish I had all that. I want all that. Steph is good, man. Steph is good.
Yeah. How about Chris Mullin in today's game?
Yeah, Chris would be.
Although he was a mid-range jumper, right? He loved the mid-range jumper.
Yeah, but was he money in the mid-range? I mean, you talk about automatic.
Yeah, he was great.
And
great
it shooter. Didn't matter about the defense being all in his face. Chris Mullin was a straight up killer.
All right, you got Clippers and Nuggets Game 5 on Friday on TNT. And you know what time that game starts?
I have no idea.
They haven't even.
Yeah. They don't tell me anything. They don't. They just say show up. Show up in your bubble arena and have fun.
Tell Kevin Harlan we said hello and great to talk to you. Hope I got you in trouble today.
Theodore, you did. I'm sure Twitter's going crazy right now.
Somebody, yeah. Thank you, Reg.
Say something.
Thank you, Reg. We'll take a break. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Once again, recapping this note from the ACC, Jeff Goodman tweeted it out. The ACC coaches will propose an all-inclusive NCAA tournament, according to sources. Coaches just finished the call, voted unanimously on this. That means 300 and some college basketball teams, they're all in the NCAA tournament? And how long is that going to take to play? Yeah, Paul.
It would double the length of the tournament. It would add three rounds to the tournament. So you could do it in 5 weeks. You know, if you tightened up the tournament a little bit, you could, because you know, you cut it in half, you add three rounds to the NCAA tournament. Get rid of those play-in games and just do everybody, and it becomes a six, seven-week tournament.
John Calipari will join us on the program, and Dickie V tomorrow as well. Recapping some of the information that we got from our interview with Pro Football Focus last hour. Dallas, over 9 wins this year. It's now 9.5, but they like Dallas over 9 wins. Houston, under 8.5. Vegas, under 7 wins. That doesn't bode well for the Marine who called in and placed a bet against Paulie. San Francisco under 10.5. Buffalo under 8.5 wins. Interesting. Detroit over 6.5. That's now up to 7. Denver under 8.5. Green Bay under 9.5. Minnesota under 9.5. Well, what's going to win the NFC North? 9 wins? Washington, they're saying over 5.5 wins for Washington Football Club. And Jacksonville, I think, over 5 wins. Could Carolina be the worst team in football this year? Are they trying to be the worst team in football? A couple of phone calls. Ryan in Iowa joins us. Ryan, good morning. What's on your mind?
DT show, word up.
Hey, bud.
I wanted to touch base about the Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
Who's the toughest guy?
Yeah.
I spent some time with some SEALs. I spent some time with some Rangers, and I spent some time with some Air Force parachute rescue jumpers. And I'm here to say that the Marines are the craziest and toughest guys in all of the United States services.
Really?
Not want to touch down with any of the Marines.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Not a single one of them.
Well, thank you, Ryan. Yeah, I wasn't sure. Like, if you go into a bar and you say, well, there's an Army Ranger and there's a Navy SEAL over there. Like, I don't know. The SEAL always, like, that made me nervous. Yes, I see.
I like when you're around a group of people that all served in different branches. I have a group of friends that are like that, where there's like a Marine, another guy from the Army, a guy from the Navy, and a guy from the Air Force. The Marine and the Army guys seem to go at it the most, but everybody, all of them make fun of the Air Force guy.
Flyboy.
Yeah.
Yes, Paulie.
And to be fair, we're scared of all of them. Like, we would be scared of a crossing guard, much less a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, like a, who would it be? What, Merchant Marine would scare me, too.
Coast Guard doesn't scare me.
Now.
Think it through.
Here we go. Coast Guard's going to.
They have those pararescue jumpers. I think those are Coast Guard guys. Those, the PJs, the pararescue jumpers, those guys are hardcore. They jump out of helicopters to save people on the ocean.
Kyle in California joining us. Kyle, what's on your mind today?
What's going on, DP?
Hey, bud.
Heck of a show today.
Thank you, Kyle.
So, talking about the Lakers last night, you and Reggie were talking about the defensive effort, and the Lakers and the Clippers look like they're doing the same thing. They don't give a damn until the fourth quarter. You really saw it with all the rotations, just no rim resistance until LeBron was making those blocks. And a quick thing on the Giannis thing. Think about this. He basically grew up in Milwaukee. That's where he got all his American culture, met his fiance there. He just seems like a different cat. I don't think he's running from that.
Yeah, but we thought Kevin Durant was a different cat, that he was so low-key chill in Oklahoma City. And that's two teams ago. But thanks for the phone call, Kyle. You know, Tim Duncan was a different cat. Now, he stayed in San Antonio. Barry Sanders, a different cat. You know, stayed in Detroit. But we thought Kevin Durant, hey, you know, that's the perfect place for him, Oklahoma City. Remember when he redid his contract or signed a new contract? He came in, had a little backpack on, and then just said, yeah, kind of here. I signed a contract extension and felt like it was a Tuesday afternoon, and he just sauntered in. And then all of a sudden it was like the media changes their minds, makes them different, think differently. Because all of a sudden it's like, hey, Kevin Durant, oh, yeah, you're going to have 30,000 points and nothing to show for it. And all of a sudden, you know, and he's very sensitive. And I think that played a role. LeBron is very sensitive. I think that played a role. And then they said, all right, well, then I'll go join a team and I'll win my titles and then I'll shut you guys up. Still hasn't shut people up when it comes to Durant. And it has a little bit with LeBron because he went back to Cleveland. But if he only had those titles with Miami, people would harp on that the rest of his life. They'd be like, yeah, but you had to join D-Wade and Chris Bosh. Same thing with Durant. All right, go around the room what we learned on this award-winning program. Todd, I'll start with you. You've been kind of quiet today. I didn't even notice you were here today.
Ryan in Tampa says you're constantly, intermittently ripping the Rams.
I know, which I don't know if you can, but I'm doing one or the other. I think intermittently ripping the Rams. McLevin.
You've been known to kick it with the bare naked ladies.
Well, I hung out with them. I don't know if I kicked it with them. They still had no idea who I was, but they were curious. Seton O'Connor Jr. III.
Semper Pi, Paulie's in
yeah.
on. Semper
oh, yeah.
Pi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Paulie, what did you learn today?
I got a Spin Doctors reference in today's show. First in a while.
I love the soft, well, they're not soft 90s bands.
That's redundant.
No.
They're Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, we missed the Goo Goo Dolls in there. But Black Crowes I wouldn't put in there. Counting Crowes I'd put in there, not Black Crowes. That's not fair to the Black Crowes. But we had Smash Mouth, Fastball. I don't know how we got on that topic, but I love it. What we learned brought to you by the Home Depot. When it comes to flooring options for the pros, no one covers floors better than the Home Depot. With everyday low prices, even bigger savings when you purchase by the pallet, the pros' best option when it comes to flooring. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Dick Vitale, awesome baby, on the program tomorrow. Kentucky head coach John Calipari. Hope you'll join us as well.